It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. Hello. Welcome, one and all. It is April 15th, 2022, and it is 1900 UTC. I'm here, coming to you from home. So, I sound normal and everything's fine. Yesterday had a big hiccup. Could not seem to get any audio out. Couldn't even just play music to have some fun. So, it's kind of a bummer. But, I'm here today and we've got a lot of news to talk about. I'm just making sure that I've got... Yeah, I think I accidentally closed a window. Here we go. Boom. Now it's back. Beautiful. Well, I wanted to say a shout out to those in comm. It looked like Tope was in comm for a little bit, but had to go check his email, so that's always a good sign. And AGB1 at Pharos was in and out. And then we also had Jeff and Publius hanging out. So hello. And also shout out to X1 and Claudio M and Jazmaz and Froggy Me and just everybody who hangs out in comm. Big hello. Happy Friday. It is also the start. Yesterday, I guess, technically, was the start of the Moon Tower Comedy Festival. So I'm going to be sleepy the next 10 days or so because there is comedy shows galore from 5 p.m. to about 11 or 12 midnight, basically every day from now till then, till the end. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. We're gonna start with the news, pretty much the same way we always start, and that's with
world news.
Right. So first, it's time to talk about COVID and COVID-19, specifically what's going on in Shanghai. Hey, X1, welcome. First. Let's talk about the more disturbing part. Video has emerged of clashes between police and people being forced out of their homes in Shanghai as the city enters a third week of lockdown. Some residential compounds are being turned into quarantine centers. Millions are confined to their homes as Shanghai battles a fresh outbreak of the virus. Anyone who tests positive is placed in quarantine. But with more than 20,000 new cases a day, authorities are struggling to find enough space. The city in recent weeks has converted exhibition halls and schools into quarantine centers and set up makeshift hospitals. The low numbers of serious cases in Shanghai have led some to ask whether a lockdown is necessary. In recent weeks, many residents have taken to social media to complain about the restrictions and lack of food supplies. People have to order in food and water and wait for government drop-offs of vegetables, meat, and eggs, and analysts say many are running low on supplies. The lockdown extension has overwhelmed delivery services, grocery shop websites, and even the distribution of government supplies. Three weeks in, some in Shanghai are angry. Head-to-toe in protective suits in an eastern district of the city, officers were forcing people out of their rented apartments so they could turn them into temporary quarantine facilities, all in the name of the war against a resurgent COVID. But for some, it was just too much. Their homes sequestered, their desperation easy for all to hear. A few miles away, there was an organized protest, as bold stand as the lockdown takes hold in the country, where you can be arrested for picking quarrels. They're angry about a local school being turned into another quarantine facility. Police with riot shields forced them off the street in the end. It was on small scale, but it's a sign of anger and frustration as the lockdown goes on. Meanwhile, the Chinese government has sent teams to the city to help more than 660 companies in key sectors of the economy, such as semiconductor and car manufacturing, to resume production. And that kind of dovetails right into the other next story we have. I do want to mention, just as the end here, China is one of the last remaining nations still committed to eradicating COVID, in contrast to most of the world, which is trying to live with the virus. But this zero COVID policy has come under strain in recent weeks with the spread of this Omicron variant. So, The Guardian has an article today. Hey, welcome back, Tobe. Welcome. Will China's zero COVID policy bring the world's factory grinding to a halt? Huawei executives warn of massive losses in tech sector as tensions rise over strict lockdowns. A top Huawei official executive has broken ranks to warn that China's stringent zero COVID policy may trigger massive losses for the tech industry, putting the country's economy as well as the global supply chain at greater risk. If Shanghai cannot resume production by May, all of the tech and industrial players who have supply chains in the area will come to a complete halt, especially the automotive industry. Richard Yu Qingdong, head of Huawei's consumer and auto division, said in a WeChat post, "That will pose severe consequences and massive losses for the whole industry." The comments from Huawei, a bastion of China's tech industry, underline growing tensions as the country attempts to eliminate COVID by locking down Shanghai. As lockdown continues in the key financial hub and home to the world's largest container port, economists have warned of heavy costs of both Asia's biggest economy and the global supply chain. So, it's just looking pretty bad. 2022 is a crucial year for the ruling Communist Party. President Xi is expected to extend his rule during the 20th Party Congress later this year. ING anticipates that local governments, as well as the central government in Beijing, will top up their relief measures, increase fiscal support, and ease monetary policy to help economic growth. The bank has revised China's GDP growth rate down to 4% year-over-year from 5% from the second quarter earlier this year. This week, Pegatron, a key iPhone maker, halted its operation at two subsidiaries in Shanghai and Kunshan. The Taiwanese firm said it actively cooperates with local authorities and would try to resume operations as soon as possible. It followed the practice of Foxconn, another major supplier, which halted operations in the Czech hub of Shenzhen in the southern Guangdong province in early March, but later resumed fundamental operations later that month. So, port shortages and disruption leave businesses facing a worrying scenario, running out of goods. If the government extends lockdowns, the risk of supply chain disruptions will increase, and firms may use up their inventories. So, very scary, very challenging thing in a world economy. Yeah, what do you know? It's very important to keep the world's biggest port moving. Well, we go from governments locking people down and kicking them out of their houses to, well, governments just selling weapons. Why not? The Biden administration has given approval for Nigeria to buy advanced attack helicopters worth nearly $1 billion, despite concerns about the country's human rights record. Because you know what? The dollar is always better than any morals you might have, I guess. Nigeria is battling a series of threats from criminal gangs and extremists in the north. The State Department on Thursday announced the approval of a $997 million sale of 24 Bell AH-1Z Viper helicopters. That's Alpha Hotel 1 Zulu Viper helicopters, and related equipment to Nigeria. The related equipment includes guidance, night vision, and targeting systems, as well as engines and training support, the department said in a notice to Congress. The sale was initiated after Secretary of State Antony Blinken paid a visit to Nigeria in November last year. Blinken also made clear the United States' regard for Nigeria as a partner in combating terrorism and Islamic extremism in West Africa and the Sahel region. This proposed sale will support the foreign policy goals and national security objectives of the United States by improving the security of strategic partner in sub-Saharan Africa, the department told Congress. The deal is also intended to better equip Nigeria to contribute to shared security objectives, promote regional stability, and build interoperability with the U.S. and other Western partners, and be a major contribution to U.S. and Nigerian security goals. So, we'll see what happens here. Nigeria is also facing a growing threat from armed gangs and extremist rebels who are now working together in the northwest and threaten to further destabilize an already volatile region. So, we'll see if the helicopters are stolen, blown up, or used to blow up people soon. We'll see what happens. Moral. X1 here. Moral. Be careful. God is a motive of war and genocide are usually committed for the highest moral reasons. Moral is not a hard science. Good point, X1. Good point. So that's what's going on there in Nigeria. In nearby Zimbabwe, there has been a crash that killed 35 people in one go. At least 35 people were killed in Zimbabwe when a bus carrying worshippers to an Easter weekend religious gathering in the southeastern town of Chipinge crashed. An accident occurred during the night. The death toll is 35 and 71 injured, police spokesman Paul Nyathi told AFP. The vehicle went off the road and plunged into a ravine. It was carrying worshippers from the Sion Christian Church, the spokesman said. Preliminary investigations showed that the bus was overloaded. An analysis made by the AFP shows the road accidents are common in Zimbabwe, perhaps due to the poor state of the roads in the country. The church is popular in the region, and a pilgrimage to neighboring South Africa brings its congregation to the largest gathering of Christians in Southern Africa every year. So, thought that was kind of cool that there's an big gathering of all the Christians in Africa or South Africa there. But yeah, pretty bad there. And speaking of morals and morals not necessarily being right and all of that, in Israel, Israeli forces raid the Al-Aqsa Mosque and over 150 Palestinians are injured. Israeli police have raided the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in occupied East Jerusalem, with medics reporting at least 158 Palestinians injured in the ensuing violence as hundreds were detained. The Islamic Endowment that runs the site said Israeli police entered in force before dawn on Friday as thousands of worshippers were gathered at the mosque for early morning prayers. Videos circulating online show Palestinians throwing rocks and police firing tear gas and stun grenades. Others showed worshippers barricading themselves inside the mosque amid what appeared to be clouds of tear gas. The Palestinian Red Crescent Emergency Service said it evacuated the majority of the wounded to hospitals. The endowment said one of the guards at the site was shot in the eye with a rubber bullet. The Palestinian Red Crescent added that Israeli forces had hindered the arrival of ambulances and paramedics to the mosque, as Palestinian media said dozens of injured worshippers remained trapped in the compound. Israel said they arrested at least 300 Palestinians during the latest escalation. However, Palestinian sources put the number at 400. Israeli police say they entered the compound, the third holiest site in Islam and revered by Jews as the Temple Mount, to break up a violent crowd that remained at the end of morning prayers. They said they went in to disperse and push back the crowd after a group of Palestinians began throwing rocks towards the nearby Jewish prayer space of the Western Wall. The Palestinian cameraman, Rami Al-Khatib, who witnessed the raid, said they, the Israeli forces, brutally emptied the compound. They were attacking the mosque staff, normal people, elders, and young people. There were many injured people. They fired rubber bullets inside Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. They were beating everyone, even the paramedics. They hit them, said Al-Khatib. Reporting from Damascus Gate, Al Jazeera's Najwan Al-Samir said Israeli police stormed the mosque compound without pretext and assaulted worshippers near the Qibli prayer hall following the morning prayer. She added that the escalation comes as far-right Jewish groups called for raids of the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound during the Passover holiday and the offering of animal sacrifices in its courtyard, which has not occurred since ancient times. Al Jazeera's Natasha Ghanem said Palestinians considered Israel's actions inside the compound a provocation. So then we have some additional, it just goes on for a while, kind of going through the response. I will take an image link and put it here in com. You'll be able to, I'll give you the short link in just a second. Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. All right. Basically, there's a whole section, a whole area of town where this stuff is at. There's the Western Wall and the Masjid al-Barak and Masjid al-Qibli, Golden Gate, Lion's Gate, Dome of the Rock, and Damascus Gate. You can see this map at sdf.org/L/LA. So that's sdf.org/L/Lima/L/Lima/A/Alpha. So that's L/LA. So yeah, basically, it's I think it's still I believe it's still Ramadan. It's Ramadan for a whole month. So it's just, it's wild to think they would go and attack people during their this most holy of times for them at one of their most holy places. But anyway, some would say Israel's participating in some genocide, but that's for another day. Niger's president meets German foreign minister Annalena Baerbock in Niamey. And oh man, what is
this? Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Oh, man. I'm hearing you. Just let's get through this one story and we'll play a song. The president of Niger has welcomed German's foreign minister, who is on a tour of West Africa. Annalena Baerbock arrived in Niamey on Wednesday afternoon. Mohamed Bazoum said their meeting focused on the decades of cooperation between Niger and Germany, a very important cooperation. The security situation, in particular terrorism, the consequences of the climate crisis, the food situation, education, especially the education of young people in Niger, were also discussed during this hearing, added Ms. Baerbock. The German foreign minister was very happy to be in Niger, stressing that in addition to climate protection, security is one of the priorities of Germany, which wants to continue to cooperate with Niger in this area. I have seen how education is a priority for President Mohamed Bazoum, and we share the same opinion in Germany. It is really very important, she said. So I think that's good. I always like to see peaceful visits to and from Africa to Europe and the West. I'm excited because there's big news about getting oil, buying oil from Africa while the stuff in Ukraine's going on. And that would be great. It would be so cool to see Africa kind of find some stability and prosperity through their natural resources, and the countries get to reap it, not just the colonial powers all that time ago. Well, let's go ahead and play a song. That way we can kind of get calm and all right, and then we'll go on in and look at the rest of the news, because there's a lot going on, including more death, so you don't want to miss that. Here's a song from the Hollies called Bus Stop. I used to listen to this on a record quite a lot, and so I hope you like it.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And SDF is powered by you. And by cats, including Pippa, the world's most famous, and on radio's most famous internet cat, and also Moshi Moshi, or Moshi, I think. I don't know if it's Moshi Moshi or just Moshi. Anyway, Snow Desk Cat is very adorable, too. Oh, man. Thank you for being here. Sorry, I'm all over the place. I was asking my barber during the song if he could cut my hair, and he said no. He hurt his knee, so he cannot. No worries. Let me just tell him no worries. No worries. And, all right. Well, let's go ahead and get back into it. There's a lot of news. one of the big news stories coming to us from Calm just right now. Tobe is home, and Pippa is very happy. So, big shout out there. Also, welcome to DJ Tin from Berlin. Tin is in Calm, hanging out. And, no, he just can't stand up. When his knee is banged up, he can't stand on it. So since he can't stand on it, he can't cut the hair. Unless he was sitting down and then I was like laying down on the ground or something maybe. But anyway, let's get into it. Let's talk about something that was kind of a bummer, I guess. This is one I was going to mention this before the song, but I forgot. An Algerian man who won 250,000 euros, which is 206,000 pounds or 270,000 US dollars on a 5 euro scratch card in Belgium, is struggling to claim his winnings because of his undocumented status. The prize is too large to be paid in cash, and the man does not have the papers he needs to open a bank account. A friend who tried to claim the money for him was briefly detained on suspicion of theft. The winner says he wants to use the money to build a life in Belgium. When I get the money, I'm going to buy a place to live in Brussels and maybe a car, the man said. His identity has not been revealed, but he told this to the Belgian newspaper Het Laatste... Oh, there's, it's a T-S-T-E. I don't... Het Laatste News. I'll just say it like that. Het Laatste News. However, first, he has to find a way to claim the money. The 28-year-old man has no valid identity papers nor a permanent place to live, according to Belgian broadcaster VRT. Because he cannot open a bank account, the lottery company will not make the payment, the man's lawyer, Alexander Vestrati, said. We are looking for those documents that can prove his identity. He will have to contact his family in Algeria, Mr. Vestrati told the AFP news agency. A lottery spokesman didn't specify to AFP which documents would be required to claim the win. One of the man's friends, who has the correct papers, tried to claim the winnings on his behalf by going to the lottery headquarters in Brussels, which is necessary for any prize over 100,000 euro. But he and two others were detained by police overnight as authorities suspected they had stolen the winning scratch card. They were released after the winner explained the situation. The card is now being held in court in the town of Bruges, close to the port of Zeebruges, where it was bought. Mr. Verstrati says authorities have promised not to deport the man until he has received the prize money. Oh, so it sounds like he may just end up leaving anyway. The winner left Algeria 4 months ago, traveling by boat to Spain, according to Belgian media. From there, he went on foot through Spain and France before reaching Belgium. He wanted to travel on to the UK, but now says he would prefer to remain in Belgium and hopes to start a family. If I was in Belgium, I'd prefer to stay in Belgium, that's for sure. Seems like a lovely, wonderful place. Shout out to DJ Tin for talking about Bitcoin. Bitcoin could fix this, but as we know, saying that too loudly can get Americans thrown in prison for 63 months. So be careful you don't talk about Bitcoin too much. You don't want to accidentally educate a foreign power and piss off the FBI. And Tobin here, Bitcoins are 8 Bitcoins. So if you're offered a Bitcoin, offer to pay them what the going rate of 1 Bitcoin is and see how far that goes. All right. Well, what else is going on? We've got about 6 minutes. We got 6 minutes and 20-ish seconds or so, 30 seconds to go. So let's go to France and talk about something really cool. Ancient tombs have been discovered at Paris's Notre Dame Cathedral as a restoration process is going on. Several tombs and a leaden sarcophagus likely dating from the 14th century have been uncovered by archaeologists at Paris's Notre Dame Cathedral following its devastating 2019 fire, France's culture ministry has reported. The burial sites of remarkable scientific quality were unearthed during preparatory work for rebuilding the church's spire at the central spot where the transept crosses the nave. I don't know what any of those words mean, the ministry said on Monday. Among the tombs was the completely preserved human-shaped sarcophagus made of lead. It added the coffin might have been made for a senior dignitary and likely dated from the 1300s, the century following the cathedral's construction. As well as the tombs, elements of painted sculptures were found just beneath the current floor level of the cathedral, identified as parts of the original 13th century rude screen, an architectural element separating the altar area from the nave. If anyone knows what the nave or the transept or any of these things are, apparently they're church words. Other parts of the structure, destroyed in the early 18th century, were unearthed during Notre Dame's mid-1800s restoration and are already on display in the Louvre Museum. French researchers have carried out the latest archaeological dig before scaffolding is set up to support the rebuilding of the spire. The investigation has been extended until March 25th, according to the ministry, culture ministry. So I thought that was super cool. Let's talk. No, I've never been inside a Catholic church, Mr. Tin. So I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I grew up, where I lived from sixth grade through high school, and then a couple years whenever I moved back home, was about a block and a half from the Catholic church, and they had bells. And I remember one hurricane that came through. It knocked the bells off of the clock tower, so then they just, it was cheaper to put in big-ass speakers, and they just played the sound of the bells from the bell tower. And the Lutheran church on the other side of town, my dad helped build the bell tower there whenever it got knocked over after a storm. And they had a bell, and so they would ring a real bell. And so it was very neat because you could hear the distinct sound quality difference. Anyway, they flew away. So let's talk about Ukraine real quick. We've got a few minutes to go. A Russian warship that was damaged by an explosion on Wednesday has sunk, Russia's defense ministry said. Note that it was damaged by an explosion. We don't know what kind of explosion. The Moskva, a flagship of Russia's Black Sea Fleet, was being towed to port when stormy seas caused it to sink, according to a ministry message. The 510-crew missile cruiser was a symbol of Russia's military power, leading its naval assault on Ukraine. Kyiv says its missiles hit the warship. The United States says it also believes it was hit by Ukrainian missiles. Moscow has not reported any attack, and it says the vessel sank after a fire. The blaze caused the explosion of the warship's ammunition, adding that the entire crew were later evacuated to nearby Russian vessels in the Black Sea. There will be a Ukraine Underground special later today at 2200 UTC. So that's going to be in an hour and a half, or about 90 minutes from now, coming to us from 10N.com. X1 lets us know a bell in the clock tower, a holy Catholic clock. If you can tell me where the Ukraine Underground special can be found, 10, I'd like to tune into that. After saying initially the warship was afloat late on Thursday, the Russian Defense Ministry announced it had been lost. The 12,490-ton vessel is the biggest Russian warship to be sunk in action since World War II. While being towed toward the destined port, the vessel lost its balance due to damage sustained in the hull as fire broke out after ammunition exploded. Given the choppy seas, the vessel sank, according to the ministry. Ah, fantastic! That is what I was thinking, but I wanted to make sure. Let's talk about the schedule real quick, because we only got 2 minutes to go. Coming up at 19:30 UTC, as in every damn day, but perhaps even more lively than ever before, is the Dubious Goals Committee at 19:30 UTC, followed by Harry Larry's Something Blue at 20 hours, and DJ Vol's Weekend at 2100 hours. At 2200 hours, we've got the third ear from DJ 10 in Berlin, followed by Raleigh and Banana Republic, and then Bronzy Beat and Cafe 80s. You can not go wrong tuning in to a non-radio during the Friday night to Saturday night. There's just so many shows and so much going on. Just go to nonradio.net to check out that schedule, or press the equal sign if you're in comm, and you'll be able to do that. All right, well, here are the headlines, because we're going to run out of time. In India, in Madhya Pradesh, an Indian state is demolishing Muslim homes. The people who would destroy his home came early in the morning, remembers 72-year-old Sheikh Mohammed Rafiq, a soft drink seller in Pradesh state. Mr. Rafiq and his sons had a long night. It's Ramadan, so our business usually picks up in the evening, he said. When the police arrived at their doorstep, they were asleep. When they heard a loud bang, someone was breaking the shutters off the gate. Hundreds of officers with bulldozers had surrounded his house. So, yeah, they're going around, yeah, anyway, we're out of time, but, yeah, all sorts of stuff going on.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC.
And talk to you then. Speaking of crypto... North Korean hackers stole $615 million in Bitcoin.
7.